Hi, everyone. So let's get started. After a long wait, children younger than 5 years are finally eligible to get vaccinated for the COVID-19 vaccine. But what does this mean for parents and caregivers? We'll be digging into these questions during this episode of Health Centers on the Front Lines, the podcast of the National Association of Community Health Centers. And I'm your host today, Dr. Wanda Montalvo. I'm a senior fellow at NAC, and I am so pleased to introduce to you today Dr. Lisa Costello. That Spanish version of me wants to say the other way. She is a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and she has a master's in public health. She is a lifelong West Virginian. She is an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at West Virginia University. She is a pediatric hospitalist at West Virginia University Medicine Children's Hospital. Dr. Costello serves as the president-elect of the West Virginia State Medical Association and is the immediate past president of the West Virginia chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. So clearly a lot of great expertise. She's also a board advisor, which I think is a really important component of what she does in West Virginia for the Department of Health and Human Services, Bureau of Public Health. And she is also a member of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on State Government Affairs. And if you want to follow her on Twitter, her handle is Lisa Costello WV. And I'm pleased to welcome you today. So let's get started with the first question here. So recently, the federal agencies have finally authorized and endorsed the use of COVID-19 vaccine in our youngest populations, 6 months and older. Can you talk about the process that got us to this point?
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm happy to be talking with you about certainly an area that pediatricians have been working and looking forward to, which is getting access for some of our youngest population to get vaccinated against the virus that causes COVID-19. So there have been trials going on for a long period of time, since pretty early on in the pandemic, looking at COVID-19 vaccination. And the way that we see new, whether it's vaccines or medications or drugs come to market, is they're usually studied in different age groups, because many a times the dosing may be different depending upon the age of the person. And so these vaccines have been studied in clinical trials. The data from those clinical trials has been reviewed by both the federal agencies as well as independent advisory committees to those agencies that are made up of experts from across the country when it comes to, in this regard, vaccine or in immune science. And they consider all of the data that's put forth from these clinical trials. And they're charged with determining, you know, is this a problem that we need to address? I think it's been well documented that we've had challenges in the pandemic. And I think we can certainly talk about that in the context of children. But is this vaccine safe and effective? And what the FDA and the CDC found is that, yes, these vaccines were found to be safe and effective. So now we have two vaccines that are available for individuals 6 months and older. There's the Pfizer vaccine, which we've seen be available for other age children. And then now also the Moderna vaccine that is available for 6 months and older. So they're a little bit different in their dosing schedule. The Pfizer vaccine is a three-dose primary series for individuals 6 months to 4 years. The Moderna vaccine is a two-dose primary series for individuals 6 months through 5 years. But really, this is the first time that these young children have had access. And the vaccine is really important for those young members of our community. They've waited the longest for this protection. And up until this point, we've successfully immunized millions of other children and adolescents to protect them from COVID-19. And now families and infants and toddlers need and deserve that same chance to get their protection against this virus. So that's kind of how we've got here. It's been a long time coming, but certainly for me, a big area of hope. I have a 4.5 month old at home, so I'm a new mom. So my daughter is still not eligible to be vaccinated, but I have a lot more hope knowing that eligibility is now weeks away rather than, you know, years, which I think a lot of parents have been having to deal with during this pandemic of, you know, when is my young child going to have the opportunity to get protected against this virus?
As you stated that, I remember when we were discussing, you know, planning for this webinar, and you shared that with me. I was referencing the We Can Do This campaign and the interview that did with America Ferreira, where she talks about her journey of being pregnant through the pandemic and having a newborn, and, you know, the similarity. So as a physician and as a mom, you know, can you and people, I think, trying to navigate this, sometimes thinking about, is it better to vaccinate? Or, you know, am I safe if my child gets COVID? Like, how do people navigate the risk factors in making the decision to vaccinate their child?
People have questions. I think it's just inherent for us as individuals. We have questions. When I was pregnant, I had those questions. I received my primary series before I was able to get pregnant. My husband was the same way. We were able to get pregnant. And then my husband and I both got boosted during our pregnancy. So I already had that one decision point to make in regards to, you know, should I choose vaccination? And I've been so encouraged since I made that decision. There's been even more data that we've found that by a pregnant person getting vaccinated, they can pass immunity on to their newborn, their little one. And so, you know, for me, I already had to make a little bit of that decision, and I chose that for protecting myself and also protecting my now little girl. And I think parents, you know, have a lot of different factors to consider when they're deciding if they should choose vaccination or not. Anything we do in life is risk benefit. As a new parent, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can to protect my daughter. So I did all the research I could on car seats. I have looked at, you know, what I've compared car seats and tried to pick which one would be best, you know, for our needs and keeping my child safe. I made sure that, you know, it's properly installed. My husband did the same thing. We always make sure it's properly installed. So we take those steps to ensure safety that we can, and how I can best protect her. And so I think when we're talking about the vaccine, people, you know, what I frequently get asked is, you know, do kids even get COVID? I work in a hospital. I care for children in a hospital, and I've cared for children who have had COVID-19, children who have gotten really sick from COVID-19 of all ages, from very newborn to, you know, teenagers. And so we know that children get severe disease. There's been millions of children who've tested positive for COVID. There's been tens of thousands of them hospitalized. And unfortunately, we've seen hundreds of children die from COVID. COVID-19 is actually a leading cause of death in children. And so it is important to offer protection to children for how to prevent that really severe disease that ends up landing people in the hospital, or even worse, taking their life. And that's what these vaccines have shown to be able to do. And we're also learning about what COVID is going to do long term. You know, we're still learning about what are the long term consequences of this long COVID, and we're going to continue to have to learn about that. So I think, you know, when a parent, including myself, is considering, you know, should I take, you know, the opportunity to vaccinate my child, or should I take the chance of them getting COVID? I think, you know, from what I've read in my experience, is choosing vaccination is the safest path for that protection, and gives children and really everyone that the best opportunity they have to be able to fight off the virus that causes COVID-19 if they should come in contact with it. So I certainly ask, and I mean, maybe, you know, people have asked questions. I know we've worked very closely with the Primary Care Association in my state of West Virginia, and just the incredible work that's happened through community health centers and school-based health centers of, you know, not only offering and administering vaccines, but really also answering questions people have. And so I always encourage individuals to reach out, get their, you know, ask their questions and get answers so that they can make an informed decision for themselves and their family.
I want to kind of really highlight that point about the work and the kind of collaboration coalition that occurs, I think, at the local level. It's how important that is to have those type of partnerships. Based on interviews we did with health centers and patients, often we heard over and over again that, you know, they're the most trusted source. And I think for parents and caregivers listening to this podcast today, you know, I encourage you to please, you know, reach out to your pediatricians and our, you know, community health centers and other trusted sources for information. Another kind of, I want to go back to something you said earlier, and I think sometimes people don't quite understand when we refer to things like long COVID. And so when we think of children in this age group, like, what does that mean?
We're still learning a lot about, you know, long COVID is considered symptoms that people may experience that's believed to be attributed due to COVID-19, you know, weeks and months after having that diagnosis. And it impacts multiple different systems. So what common symptoms that we've heard is being really tired, headaches, trouble concentrating, but there can be other impacts. And then another thing that is a little, you know, wouldn't I would say as long, but for a few weeks after someone has COVID, you know, 4 to 5 weeks after, children can get what we call MISC or multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. I've cared for children in the hospital. This is a disease that it's multi-system, hence in the name, but get really high fever. It can have impact on their heart. It can also have impact on seeing blood clots and other, you have a rash. We've also seen impact on the liver. And so multiple systems being impacted. It's really that MISC is a big inflammatory reaction. We've even had children that have been very sick that needed to be in the ICU from that. So there are consequences from getting COVID, whether there's that MISC or this long COVID, like you talked about. You know, we're still learning about what that actually looks like, but we're seeing more and more people be diagnosed with that. And we're going to have to continue to study and see what the long-term impact is, particularly on children who, if they got it early in their life, you know, how's that going to impact them for the years to come?
So, Dr. Costello, the other thing is, you know, as a pediatrician, how do you frame the conversation with parents? You know, this, I kind of refer to them, this movable middle. You know, there's people that clearly have decided, I'm going to get my child vaccinated. They've lined up, made appointments. And then there's others that are on the fence. So how do you engage them in a conversation, and what type of tips do you have for, you know, other clinicians and nurses and others that are speaking with parents?
Great question. I always try to start conversations from a place of empathy. I get, like, it's tiring. This, we've been doing this for a long time. And having conversations and people who've cared for children, you know, we've talked about vaccines for a long period of time. This is, you know, what we do in providing vaccine counseling. And when it comes specifically to COVID-19, I think starting from a place of empathy and really listening and hearing what the concerns the parent or caregiver may have is an important place to start. Next is you have to acknowledge as the healthcare provider that it might take more than one conversation to improve someone's confidence to get vaccinated. I heard this analogy and I've been using it when I talk about kind of, you know, how do you have discussions with and how do I have discussions? I think of it as like planting a seed. You know, if you start having that conversation with someone, you plant a seed. Somebody else comes along and they add a little bit of water to that seed. Maybe the individual themselves goes and looks up one of the resources that you provided. And over time, the hope is that seed starts to blossom. And so in the analogy is that, you know, over time, as we continue to provide this clear, consistent, and really unbiased information for people to make a decision, I believe that their confidence improves. You know, if you open up that space and keep that open dialogue and then give them a resources and give a call to action. If they, you know, if you're having that discussion with them and they may not make that decision right in that visit or right in that moment, Provide them with resources that they can get more information. So the American Academy of Pediatrics has many different resources. You referenced the We Can Do This campaign. There's many resources out there, also available in different languages, but they can get information from their own state. You know, in my state of West Virginia, we put out information based upon what we hear West Virginians want to hear about and have answers to. And so pointing your patients and families to those trusted sources of information, there's a lot of information out there, but pointing them to those trusted sources, I think, is a way to help. So I always try to start with empathy and make sure that I'm listening, knowing myself that it might take more than one conversation to move someone's confidence to get vaccinated, and then really leave it to a place that we can have conversations in the future, but give them resources to address whatever questions they may have, and then to keep bringing it up. I think there's also a lot of things not to do, which sometimes we don't talk about. Like, I really don't try to shame someone because we know that shame and guilt don't work. And so I really try to, again, be open in my conversation, give the facts that I have based upon my experience. And I share my experience of, you know, I plan to vaccinate my daughter when she turns 6 months old, and how I'm getting that decision, and also, you know, why I chose to get vaccinated when I was pregnant. So I think those are some of the tips to try to really help those people, like you said, movable middle, fence sitters, whatever you kind of refer to them as, who really want information. They want information so that they can make a decision for themselves and their families to get vaccinated. We know that there's people who like to wait and see, you know, they like to kind of take their time and wait. You know, I'm like what you said, I'm the, you know, highly on the vaccine confidence. Like, as soon as my daughter's eligible, you know, I'm choosing to get her vaccinated. There's other people that need a little bit more time to make that decision. And I think as healthcare providers working in our communities, they trust us. Like you said, they trust our community health centers. They trust those their local healthcare provider. And so if we can provide those resources to them, we really can do a great deal in regards to improving vaccine confidence.
I so agree with you. I do like, you know, the emphasis on making sure that we listen. We heard this over and over again during our own interviews, that people just want the time to process. At the end of the day, there is a decision-making burden we're putting on people to navigate this. And they're not, you know, epidemiologists or virologists, and we're asking them to, you know, trust that we have done all the work and the science and following the research and making the, you know, helping to partner with them and making the an informed decision to vaccinate. So, you know, now I have decided I'm vaccinating my little one. So are there any things I should look for after vaccination? Anything I should be kind of alerted to that I should report?
These vaccines, what we've seen in the clinical trials, as well as now, because we've been vaccinating, you know, down to age 5. And now, you know, for the past week, we've been able to vaccinate children under 5 as well. The things we see after a vaccine are pretty typical to other vaccines. So they may have a redness at the injection site. I know my daughter has had redness at her injection sites after her 2 and 4 months old. You know, she's done well with them. They might have some soreness there at the injection site. We do see sometimes fever. They could have a fever afterwards. And for other children that are able to kind of maybe say what they feel, you know, my daughter's cooing a lot, but she's not, you know, she's babbling a lot and it's really cute, but it's not any formed words, which we in pediatrics know, you know, our patients can't really tell us how they feel until they get to a certain age. But other children may report feeling tired, or they might have some kind of muscle ache. So the side effects have been pretty similar to what we've seen in older patients. But I will say, because the pediatric dose is smaller, you know, children can still amount an immune response with a lower dose. The side effects have been somewhat less that we've seen sometimes comparatively to adults. And so those are the things to be on the lookout for. And I think if you ever have questions, call your healthcare provider, you know, whether, you know, call the community health center. And I think it's important for those who work in that area to be able to provide the guidance that, okay, this is what we would typically see or expect from a vaccine. The one thing that I would mention that I think there's been a lot of questions that I've got about is this issue of myocarditis or pericarditis, which is inflammation in and around the heart. You know, that has been a very rare side effect we've seen with COVID-19 vaccination. I would remind everyone that we see myocarditis and pericarditis with people who actually get COVID. So people who, you know, didn't get vaccinated, the risk is actually higher if to get that type of condition in your heart, getting COVID-19 than getting vaccinated. But in those situations, people have reported shortness of breath or chest pain. And so if your child reports experiencing those symptoms, you certainly want to call your pediatrician and make sure that they get checked out. Again, that side effect has been very rare, but it is something that certainly people see out there in different conversations. And I think it's a question that I get and one to you know, make sure we discuss with families.
So, I mean, I think once you decide to get the child vaccinated and, you know, it's almost like a coming back into the, introducing our little ones back into the world of, you know, daycare, you know, playing out in the yard and kind of, you know, family gatherings and protecting, you know, our extended family as well, right? So are there any kind of final key takeaways you'd like to share with us before I close out?
For me, obviously, I'm speaking as a pediatrician, but also as a new mom. This is a time for me to be hopeful. I mean, people that have children in this age group have waited a long time. And, you know, you can do all the precautions and certainly still recommend using as many of the tools in the toolbox we have, you know, wearing a mask, washing your hands. If you're sick, you know, get tested, stay at home. But we have seen time and time again that vaccination is our strongest tool in the toolbox. So I remember back 2 years ago, back in December of 2020, when the vaccines were first authorized and how hopeful I and my colleagues and so many people were to finally have that protection. And as we've seen since that time, different age groups have had that opportunity. And now we have it eligible for people who are 6 months and older. So for me, I think this is a time to be hopeful. And as a parent, and I think as a pediatrician, you know, we always want to do what's going to protect your child and be in the best interest of your child. And when it comes to protecting against, you know, the virus that causes COVID-19, vaccination really is our strongest tool. And so I hope people ask questions and talk to their pediatrician, talk to their community health center, their school-based health center, and to talk to people and get answers to questions they have and make an informed decision for themselves and their family that hopefully will lead to choosing vaccination. Because we do know that it's safe and effective, and our children need this protection. So I'm hopeful to see that we now have this protection to offer for children. And I think that we're all going to work together. Like you said, I think the community partnerships are key. I'm so grateful. And really, that's been a silver lining of the pandemic for me to get to work with so many community health centers. My parents go to a community health center in my community. So for all those listening, thank you for all that you do. I know it's been a long journey, and we're still continuing to do the important work to keep our communities safe and healthy.
Great. And, you know, I think I'm going to reference the We Can Do This campaign and the materials that we'll provide links to. I think, you know, in preparation for going to meet with your pediatrician, there's, you know, a list of questions you can ask. It's available in multiple languages. You know, there's a lot of good information for clinicians, so you're not having to reinvent the wheel. It's already vetted. So use those resources so you can focus on, you know, the task at hand of meeting with parents and answering their questions. At this point, I want to thank everyone in joining us today. And I'd like to thank and ask a favor of those that are listening, that once our, you know, podcast goes live, please like it, retweet it, share it with colleagues, help us get the word out. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. Stay safe and get your child vaccinated.
Produced by Heartcast Media.